He wants you. He wants you. Well, I'm full of problems. They don't bother Him. Hallelujah. They don't bother Him. He's... Hallelujah, Jesus. The devil thought he had Him. You know, God can't lie. He thought he had Him. In his wildest days, the devil never thought that he'd have another son. Would take the place and pay the price for the first one. And everybody in between. See, the devil thought he had no way out. Because he can't lie. He didn't lie. He just put our old man to death and made a new creation out of us. Oh, you can be seated. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Forever in 3 days. Well, we might get to this 17th chapter. So, I mean, the chances are pretty good that we... Especially of John. I love John, apostle of love, you know. So we just... I don't know. The chances are really... He's pleased, and you can't imagine how much pleasure that it brings Him when He actually comes together with the church that gives Him the fellowship and the worship that He desires. And He's expressing in interpretation His pleasure, that He loves it when you come together in this kind of fellowship. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I think we left off this morning. Does that seem like a long time ago to you? So then I tracked him down to my oldest aunt, you know, my mom's sister, the oldest one. So I said, now I want Thule. They had funny names, and Junie Thule. I says, I'm turning her over to you. This is it. I'm dropping her off. No ifs or buts. This is it. And so I just dropped her off, and now I'm preaching and stuff and stationed in Tulsa, and all of a sudden I get this call from this woman named Carol, and she says, are you the Dave Roberson that used to live on White Road? And I said, yeah. Well, she said, well, my mom told me, trust me, daughter, it's not him. I said, I'm him. She said, my God, what happened? I said, that's what happened. They were a good Baptist family, and her brothers were Phil and Henry Clatt. And I snuck Grandpa's chew and his cigars, and we'd go hide behind the car and smoke them. Carol caught us. Mama! Mama! About 9 or 10. Mama! They're out there smoking them. And boy, did they get it. Good Baptist family. I ran. I ran. Now, years later, I'm out of the Navy and married. Get this call from this woman.
Are you the Dave Roberson, Jim Brown?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Carol. You remember me?
No. Me with the Clats. Phil and Henry were my brothers that you run around with. And, oh, you're the little brat that got us in trouble. She says, I am. I am. I said, well, I'm preaching. She says, my mom won't believe it. And I said, well, I'll be in Tucson, Arizona. Where are you? And they were close. So I looked down and there she is with her mom. And they got filled. Amen. And then they says, well, where are you? And I told them this and that. And then I told them what I was believing for, my oldest living aunt now. I think the last I heard, she's in Artesia, New Mexico. Well, guess where they live by? They went back to Artesia. Found my oldest aunt in a rest home and got her born again just before she died. Come on. How many of these do you have? Bunches. Bunches. All things are possible to who? To him that what? All things are possible. And who's this really all about? And we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. I mean, this one's terminating. All this stuff going on, tornadoes, earthquakes, catastrophes, it's terminating. It's laboring in imperfection. Just like our bodies terminating. We're going to get a new body. You know where it's going to come from? It comes from the DNA of your born-again spirit. When this one drops off, hello, you're going to have black hair again or whatever color it was. You're going to look good. You're not going to get any older than 33. That's when he was cut off, so you'll never get a day older. Hallelujah. And substitution, identification. This whole thing's going to fall off. And this planet's going to fall off of us too. He said, I beheld one look from his face and heaven and earth fled, vanished away with a roaring noise. And then when he looked in the book of Revelation, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Boy, are we going to have some kind of Eden to come back to. Well, I heard you don't marry and things. There's neither male nor female, but don't worry about it. What are you going to miss when you're not that anymore? We know how to use words without saying nothing. Words are us. Hallelujah. Words are us. Hallelujah, Jesus. So come on. What's the most important thing on this planet? With me? Oh, no, you're second now. You already made it. You're home. You're home. He's going to modify it for you, but you're home. The most blessed, sacred thing, the most thing that he's after now is every sinner that's walking around that's not born again yet. Hallelujah, Jesus. There was a certain, he had an unjust steward that wasted his goods. He said, how is this I hear of you? He said, well, he was canceling their debt so that when he got thrown out of his stewardship, he could go back and butter up a little and go, didn't I cancel that? Yeah, he did. Well, I need a job. But then Jesus gave us our instruction right in the middle of all that. He says, but I say unto you, this is for you. You make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And he went on to say, for he that's faithful in little is faithful in much. And if you haven't been faithful in that which is another man's, how can he give to you that which is your own? See, we got just one mission on this planet. Different callings. But we're temporal. Different missions. That's why he gives us all our separate measure of faith. He gives us our office and then the faith to fill it. See? But here we are. We're on this planet. He says, and I say unto you, he says, same way that guy canceled that debt. You use the power of attorney in my name, which is Jesus. And any money you use to cancel their debts with, you just remember all those people. Every person, your dollars got born again. All them people are going to be waiting for you when you walk in, because they'll be there because of you. So when he says, if you've not been faithful in the mammon, that belongs to somebody else. In other words, when God blesses you and you're not faithful to do with it what you should, with whatever part you should do with it. He says, if you're not faithful in that which is another man's, how can he give to you your own? If I'm so stingy I can't get people born again, then he don't owe me nothing. As though he did in the first place. For this is laboring in imperfection, and soon all of it will come to an end. And you'll see the things that you waited to see. So remember the signs that I gave for these. Well, I can say it in the second person now. Remember the signs he gave for these last days. These things that will come to pass just before he returns. Knowledge would increase. It has. The whole world is in contact with each other. It's published in every nation. The time is almost here. But it's the time to look up and rejoice. Because our redemption total draw nigh. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. What I'm saying, the most important, I mean the pure gold, the diamonds that are wandering around is the people who do not know Him yet. They're going to be somewhere forever and ever and ever. For He's looking for a people of seriousness that'll stay on the road He puts them on, that'll lead to the power that He's made available. Because there's much waiting for you of my testimony of power that'll be manifested in any city whom will call on my name with that kind of authority. So be diligent to let the Holy Spirit teach you, for He'll bring you to that place against these last days, saith the Lord. Woo! Boy, hallelujah. You must be getting some pretty good teaching here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. What, do you know how to get on that path or something? You put one foot in front of the other. Well, isn't it something the way people preach? That this path haphazardly throws you off in the ditch, and that one throws a heavy weight on you, and it's all, you get sick, you know, deathbed, and dying half the time, but it's all in God's plan. My foot, His plan for that ended when Jesus died of it. Hallelujah. Oh no, that path doesn't include little side trails of dying. That path is a walk to everything He has is as provided, delivered, and sovereign to get there as the very provision He paid for to get it ready for you. Kesuka, it's ours. It's ours. We can't meet together to play church. We got to have church. Hallelujah. Don't die in my service, because we'll bring you back and ask you why you left. Have you ever raised the dead? Yeah, but it shocked me worse than them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. A woman fell out of her chair, dead between the chairs. No heartbeat, no nothing for about 9 minutes or so. I never will forget. She opened her eyes. I said, "You come back." I said, "You can't leave this church." Church hopper. Oh, you think they got a better one in heaven? No. No. I just reached inside where the heart is, where faith is. Said, "She's not done. She's not ready. You know that better than me. So you come back in the name of Jesus." And she just opened her eyes and sat up. And I said, "Where'd you go?" And she says, "I don't know." No trip out of her. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You think, the preachers that let ministry drag them down, they don't know nothing. The peace. He just didn't provide the peace for us. "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you." Meaning, the origin of the peace He's give us didn't originate here. Originated with Him. That's why it works under every circumstance. And in every case. See, He's give us this peace and this grace. So I mean, why am I going to get tortured? Not believe. And why am I going to walk upset? I'm not. Because I don't have to. He's given me His peace. And to describe it, I would have to say it's connected somehow with His love. That perfect love that in the perfection process gets rid of all your fear. And as we said this morning, you quit failing. So this peace, He said, "My glory I give unto you." He says, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, that you may know." That's a chapter I open to. "My glory I give unto you, that you may know that the Father loves you." He said, "You with the same love that He loves me." But unless I read that wrong, which I know I didn't. He said, "My glory I give unto you, so you can know that He loves you with the same love that He loves me." I said, "God, I have got to know what Your glory is. What did You give me? What did You give me that I could know that? Huh? When You gave me Your glory, what did I give?" This is where I do Bronk. If Bronk gave me His glory, if Bronk and Arnold Schwarzenegger gave me their glory, what would I get? I'd get all the muscles and all the glory that went with it, although I'm not too far off. Oh, I dropped my comb. Is my hair messed up? If He gave me His glory, what would I get? All His muscles and the fame and everything that went with it. But on the other hand, if Einstein gave me His glory, MC squared. equals the toothpaste was there. I had a close brush with a technical problem, but I solved it at the MC Square. Oh, and afterwards I had a pie. What would I get? I'd get Einstein's brains and all the problem-solving, world-famous mathematician, people go down in history kind of guy. What if I got a computer nerd's glory? I said, no. I don't see. All he can think about is knowledge. 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 God goes to my couch. I come at you. Knowledge. Look at this. Nobody could solve this. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know the president did that. Oh, look at this. They're going to make a move over in India. It's not good. Nothing pleased him. Knowledge. No, his glory was knowledge. He go... thick, horn-rimmed glasses that when he looked at you, you seen train tunnels. Bedhead. Bedhead. Knowledge. All he wanted was knowledge until the day, nerd girl. He's in his cubicle. Knowledge. Nerd girl.
Knowledge.
Little pink sweater buttoned up wrong. Pencil pack. Bed head. One pink sock, one white.
Knowledge. Knowledge.
Knowledge. Knowledge.
Knowledge. Knowledge.
He goes, knowledge. 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 And she turns, their eyes meet. This magic moment, so tender and so few, not like any other, till I met you, and then it happened. Collision, pencils, glasses flying all over the place. From then on, knowledge was not enough. He needed what he could only find in the presence of his sweetie pie. You'll find with God knowledge. Knowledge, just knowledge, is not enough.
Enough.
The knowledge introduced you to him. Just knowledge is not enough. You'll never be satisfied until you know him in the power and presence and personal life of the Holy Spirit. See, knowledge, it's not enough. I have to know him. Hallelujah, Jesus. So my glory, he said, I give unto you is what? That I might know. And he loves me with the same love that he loved him. So he gave me his glory. is it? What is it? What did He give me when He gave me His glory? He gave me and you the same standing that He has with the Father. His gift to you. See? Pray for Bronk. He didn't want to say this in front of everybody, but oh, I'm sorry. My glory I give unto you. What did I get? He said, I got the same standing that He has with the Father, that I can know that the Father loves me with the same love that He loves Him. Now, you've been getting into more worship. And when I was here 8 years ago, you wasn't in as much. The worship is when you suspend your spirit in a tangible presence. You won't be able to do that, especially being buttoned up when you're trying to preach. See, what praying in tongues does is delivers you to the keys, as you know. His whole plan comes to you in the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was there for you. He came. And when He came to reveal it and to empower you for it. So He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Then He can accurately make intercession for you then according to His will, which is exactly what He does. So you can't spend that time praying in tongues like you've been doing without working His plan out ahead of you. And then working that plan, whatever the call, whatever it might be, then He also works on the equipping of the plan. But when it's time to open certain doors, He opens them. When you obey, then whatever that key brings, it adds it to the anointing or to your life. Somebody was telling me he just got to the fasting key, you know. Oh, I hated that door. I thought it was the power. It's time. Yeah. Glory to God. Woo, I've been waiting for this door. Hallelujah. And it was the fasting key. And then I'm thinking, surely, when I fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed, surely now, the next key will be the power. Get up, Dad. I don't want to. You're already alive, so you have to. You know, so what does He do? He gives me the key I already thought I was walking in. But until I started understanding scriptures that I couldn't understand before this came, then I knew why He had to do it. I don't know if it's the last key or not. I know God is love. And I saw the last one. It was a big door. It wasn't with a key lock. This was the big one that turns. And then you got a combination. It was a big safe that you walk in. It holds that much treasure. The last key opened. The door opened in front of me. I expected it to swing all the way open, but it didn't. It swung about 2 foot. But enough light escaped out of that 2 feet that it opened, that it changed my whole life concerning the love of God. When it began to increase, then scriptures that were very hard to understand without that base began to open up. I started seeing you, how He sees you. And it was a whole lot easier to believe because you were worth something. Amen. hurting somebody, it's harder and harder. See, it's not that you can't. It gets where you can't. You can't. Have you ever had something rise up in you that's almost stronger than you are and you can't resist it? Let's just talk about habits for bad things. You ever had that happen? Well, think of a habit for a good thing like that. It raised up, snatched a hold of an addiction that you couldn't turn loose of and started bringing you in, see? That's how the love of God was. I couldn't just get a little and not want more. The faith I was looking for, it didn't have to do with the generic clinical thing they dropped on me. The faith I was looking for had to do with the doubt not in the heart. He said you could say to the mountain, go on, you be moved. But remember what he said. If you got a hurt, if you got some capacity to hurt somebody, ought to stop the prayer right there. Go fix it. Then come back and finish the prayer. So how important do you think it is? Are you bringing an offering up? Which they were famous to do. You ready to lay it on the altar and remember that you could hurt somebody? Keep it. You might as well keep it. You're looking for God to do something. You might as well keep it. He can get another one. He said, just leave it. Put it in your pocket. Go make it right. Then come back and offer it. And don't try to tell me that he don't answer prayer. That he doesn't do supernatural things, I ask. Even to going after people. I loved watching him go after people. When you turn them over. You see, you're what it's about. I wanted this faith. Monstrous. Faith. Yes. Do everything with him. Raise the dead twice. Just raise them up and they say, do you believe he was dead? And they say, no, and then shoot him. And raise him up again just to show. God used, yes, he uses some pretty mean people. Because what I've seen, most that's even used at the top of the pole, some of them got some pretty ornery streaks. But if he didn't use them, he wouldn't have nothing. So he has to use something. But it's not his best. He'll use me for somebody else and some things he won't answer for me. Well, I need that. How come you got it for them when I prayed? It's between me and you, son. See, he loves you. He'll get something to you any way he can. But if you're asking me what love did, when I tried to say, okay, I love you more and more, well, I'm just lying to myself. If every time I love him more, I don't love you more. I'm looking for something and it isn't to help you. So you're loving him more and you're not loving them more, then you're not channeled into the right one. Why do you favor people that can do things for you? That's a kind of love. See, he unlocked that door, enough light came out to change me enough to know the difference between faith that's of the heart and faith and hope you had. He said, you can say to that mountain, but you have to doubt not in here where the power plant is. In the place you hold things against people, they don't share the same room too well. I'm not looking at you because you're a victim. I'm looking at you because you're pulling it out of me. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. So what part of me does that affect? The part he said, if you doubt not in, you'll have what you say. But wasn't it nice for him to put that little correction in? You got a lot, just go fix that and then come offer your offering. What he's trying to do is to get you to do something that'll release him to answer. See? Well, do people get less mean to you when you... Not necessarily. I guess it's Gary that likes to tell the story about the one guy, isn't it, Abigail? I could tell that it was somebody that was quick. There was either us wanted to get in my office real quick or just open the door real hard on purpose. Because it flew, bam, banged against the wall, and he comes stomping in. And I'm standing there talking to Gary. And he got right up. Gary said he spit all over me. Screaming at me this close. Can't go. Spindly church, should you stink up? Get out of here. And they got all done. He turned around and huffed off towards the door. And they almost got to the door and I said, does this mean that you don't like me? Oh, Gary lost it. Gary lost it. And he said, does this mean that you don't like me? And he went... Unfortunately, faith only goes so far to your own person. He'll carry the faith a lot further in the giftings and things when it's for other people. He'll use you and stuff. How come you see so many healing ministries? A lot of them, many of them die of sickness and takes them out of the ministry. Well, they get thousands healed. And die themselves.
Well, they didn't know how to bleed. They sure knew how for other people.
See? Because He loves you. He'll flow and He'll do things. But I noticed that my personal walk with Him was different from the calling He had on me. And I'd see Him do things for people. Then I'd want it. I couldn't get one. Well, I need a new car. And I'd pray and I'd get one in 3 days and mine would quit. Well, I'll tell you something. You can't bring yourself under the ascendancy of the Word and begin to speak it out. Such as, I'm calling myself healed. And I'm going to thank you and praise you that it's done. And most of the time people will do that the way that faith first taught. That every time it comes up or the pain shoots through, you say, no, I'm not receiving that. I've been healed. I'm healed. And the other teaching was walk the floor and thank Him. Hour after hour, thank you that I'm healed. Oh, I give you all the glory and I thank you for healing me. Thank you. And I've seen people do that hour after hour, day after day. and have whatever it was in their body absolutely disappear. So which one would you use? I would use whichever one I had to. And usually I love the second one because I know that God's not moving because of my much speaking. Just because I thanked Him 6,000 times for healing me or removing a cancer or something like that doesn't mean my much speaking is what caused Him to move. It didn't affect Him at all. In fact, He already healed me 2,000 years ago. So asking Him 6,000 times, it wasn't an asking, it was a thanking Him. So I thank You. I thank You that I'm healed. I thank You I have cancer no more. I thank You. If I say that 6,000 times, I tell you how your mind works a little. Bronx taught on it since the day that he taught us. How come I can give you a paragraph to read? And you read it. Read every word and pronounce it and close it. And then quote the paragraph back to me. What? Can you do that? I can't. If you have a photographic memory, you can. Nobody would have a photographic memory if somebody didn't have the original equipment. That was Adam. And some people can. They can read a paragraph and close it up and quote it word for word, comma for comma, back to you. Because they can see it in their mind. I can't. I can't remember the first sentence. Usually I get three or four words in. What? What? I can't do that. But I can read it and memorize it. Then I can come back and do it. What changed? What happened in my mind where it could go from can't to can? What happened when I read it over and over? Somehow, a transformation took place in my mind. And it put it in a permanent place and kept it where I can go there and call it back. You can't call yourself healed 6,000 times without it affecting something. You're going to start believing it somewhere down the line. When you do, here He comes. You didn't move Him. You moved yourself into a position to receive from Him.
You just think you know everything.
No, not everything. I can't say. I know I have a sense of humor. Woo. Hallelujah. It just makes me want to get my Bible out. Boy, when he started teaching me assimilation and meditation, I started taking those little books first, like Galatians, Ephesians, and reading them, you know, 20, 30 times. And then you go and you read another book. And all of a sudden, seven things in the other one helped explain what you read in this one. And it all comes together and you go, my God, I didn't know that. What you did is assimilated all the information you needed to bring the whole together. And the whole, it's what has the faith. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. It was God. The same was beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Life is the light of man. Light shined in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. This man said, when God, his name was John, he came to bear witness of the light. It was not that light. Because... I was waiting for you to laugh. Come on. Come on. Have I not given each and every one of you the measure of faith? Did I not freely give this to you at the price that has been paid? Hear what the Spirit would say. When you give yourself over to me and you put your mind to meditation. Where do you think faith comes from? Does it come not but by hearing and by understanding what you heard from the Word? For when you equip yourself through meditation, then I can bring the pieces together and put things in understanding for you. That if you give me nothing to work with, there's very little I can do, for I have given to you my Word, said the Lord. Oh, oh, oh. I'll see you guys later. Oh. So what did he say? He said, my glory I give unto you, that you might know that my Father, he gave me his standing so I could know that my Father loves me. Not different. He loves me with the same love, Jesus said, the same. That he loves me. Now, if you were looking for power, how much power do you think you could harness? Out of a revelation of how much he loved people, and an empowering and a gifting to follow that. If you had any idea how odd affected the answers to your prayers, you'd stop it right now. You still remember when I first broke Matthew 6? It was about 8 years ago when I came here with it. I think that's correct. And it was the part where if I get started in this, I won't be out of here until midnight. It is. He said, did you really want to build your house on a rock? Where any kind of flood can pound, beat, day after day. It's not going down. Because this man digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Well, the deep digging had to be into his word, because he says, he that hears my sayings and does them, let me show you to what he's like. He's like a man that digged deep, found that foundation, and built himself a house, and hell beat the living daylights out of it, and it would not go down. I'm saying that's keeping your sayings. He said, yeah. And I said, bring them on. I want to find out what these sayings are. I didn't have to back up past the 27th verse. I go, oh, here's one. Quoted verbatim. I say unto you, all right. Love your who? Wait a minute. We're building a house on a rock, aren't we? Come on. Love your enemies. Oh. Well, I'm going to read a little more. I can find a good one. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Well, surely this is not the sayings he's talking to, even though they're in the same chapter. Take them out of context. Do good to them that hate you. Oh, well, I'll go to the next one. Pray for those who despitefully uses you. Oh, wait a minute. When is this going to end? Oh, yeah, good slap. Okay, I'll just knock his block off. Turn the other cheek. Got to you, didn't it? What do you do with a cough that says, I'm a cough? I said, surely this is all. He says, give. I want to skip these next words. Give to every man. Good thing women aren't asking. Give to every man that asks to borrow. Ask for money to lend, hoping not again. And your reward shall be great, yeah, in heaven. What do you think? Luke 6:38, see, that's the next verse. What do you think it was a part of? Just some crazy guy taking an offering? He's talking about the guy that walked away with your stuff.
Yes, sir.
Instead of railing and sending him to hell and suing him. What did you do? Give. You go on and give it in His name. And He'll heap it down. Press it together. And if that's not enough, He shakes it till it goes back down where He can put more in till it's overflowing. And then He hands it to somebody to bring to your house. Can you believe that? What are you worth? My God. It hit me one day. I remember I was bar hopping in the Navy. That's a term we had. Does it still work?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Work?
That's shocking.
Then, bar hopping. I was bar hopping in the Navy. Going bar to bar, drinking. This nice gal, like you girls, she had tracks in her hand. She's real nice, like you.
Right.
I made her cry. She left bawling. I wasn't nice. What do you think she'd do now? She'd say, I got my revenge. But I sent her away. And she was. I was so hard on her, mean. That she was crying. Well, see, she couldn't... She couldn't witness to me and do all she was doing. That God will not heap it down. Press it together. I can still tell her story someday. I pray to God she wasn't much older than me, that she's alive and someday I'll meet her. Because it did have an effect on me. Not her track much of what it said, but her bravery to just approach me. And try to salvage me. See? So I'm thinking, what did I cost God? You know, I put myself in the other role as just an old sinner. I mean, what did I cost God? What did people give and do? What kind of debt did I run up that God had to spend to go after me? Whatever it was, He heaped it down, pressed it together, shook it down, and give it back to the person that saw to it, that had put the meetings on that I walked into and couldn't escape. I got born again. When I told my pastor, he knew me from the beginning. Rosalie sang in the choir. He was quite worried about her. She was the only reason I came. Did you know their teaching got to me? I got radically saved. I mean, it followed me home, knocked me down on the floor, and I was 6 hours under the power. Laughing, crying. Not long after that, we moved to Oregon, and I told Brother Phillips, I says, I'm going to Oregon because I think God's calling me there for ministry. And he says, you're not ready. He didn't know what happened. I tried to tell him, you all don't go. You won't make it. You'll never make it. Please, you're not ready. Please don't go. When I was 32, I came back through town on my way to Old Mexico to preach. And I came in the door, and there was Brother Phillips. And he goes, oh, Brother Roberson from Oregon. He remembered that he'd tried to get me to come up testify, and I never would, and he'd booked me to do the young people, and I'd never show up. He said, come up here. He knew I wouldn't. So when I did, he liked to fade. He gave me the mic. I told the people what had happened and where I was going and heading for Mexico. And Brother Phillips lost it. God, he got me saved. He just lost it. On my way back, I stopped off and preached for him. It ended up me going home and coming back and having a 5-week meeting in the place I was born again in. And Brother Phillips shined like a star. He says, I'd have never believed it. I said, believe it. Nothing's too hard for him. Well, you don't know the person I'm believing for, then you don't know God very well. He's got ways of going after you that you'll lose sleep on. You know, I usually don't do this. I do more line upon line. That you pulling other stuff out of me now. What, are you hungry or something? Well, what have you learned? I'll tell you what. That last door, I thought, and think still. I've only been soaked in 2 foot of light. That I got a feeling that that door can operate wide open. And God only knows what that'll bring. Already it's changed my life so radically. The verses I didn't understand and people I didn't love, I love now and I understand the verses. How could I take much more? What will it manifest in? When that door opens, what kind of effect would that kind of love have on any city? Would it empty the children's hospitals who are not accountable for themselves? Would it? Who would hold that back? Would it be the child didn't believe? Who would we blame? And what would Jesus do? You think he'd walk through the hospital and leave any of them in there? You're right. He stopped funeral processions. Gave the daughter back. You mean that's... What do you think he just takes up room when he says things like, the works I do, you'll do also? Greater works than these because I go to the Father. You think you're going to do greater miracles than he did? That wasn't what he's talking about. What's the greater work? Got it. The works I do, you'll do also and greater, because right now I can't even do it. But when I raise from the dead, the greatest work you'll do is present this to the sinners and they'll be born again. That's the greatest miracle that's ever come to pass since Adam fell. So the works I do, you'll do also. Yeah, yeah, raising the dead, emptying wheelchairs in hospitals. Yeah, you'll do that, yeah. But greater works, will you do what? You will be able to talk people into eternal life to be born again. Oh, God.
Ball, baby, ball, baby. You got that right.
So my glory I give to you, the standing I have with the Father. Jesus said that you may know. You can know that He loves you with the same love that He loves me. I'm the only one that can stop it. We usually do that in degrees. What's going to happen when somebody gets a hold of all of it? You think the screaming kid's going to stay hurting? You think you're not going to give the mayors of cities a bad time when you fool with their hospitals? You said, that's pretty radical. Well, you tell me, what would Jesus do? And a whole bunch of people sick and dying in a room.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, He's not here. Yes, but He sent the Comforter. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be who? A witness of His? I want to witness everything He's done. Hallelujah. And I got a long time to do it. I'm just too healthy.
Quit bragging.
It's not bragging. It's a place of peace. My peace I give unto you, He said. Do you know your brain produces something that'll put you down early if you're full of sick worry and care all the time and fretting and fussing? When you have that real strong peace, it produces the opposite. Something that prolongs life. Well, I can tell you firsthand, peace He has, you'll stay here till you're done. Nothing can take you off. Do you know Paul didn't go home before he was ready? He says, I'm ready. I can just hear him. I'm ready to be offered. They took him to the Abbey of the Three Gates. Beheaded him. It was him that says, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I ran a good race. There's a crown laid up for me. There's a reward. It's not any different now. We need some Pauls out here. They're after something besides money. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. Whew. What's this week going to turn out like? I'm just getting warmed up. Quite literally. Boy, there's a lot of power in here. He doesn't mind if I make fun of myself. Say, you're humorous. What do you do when you feel good all the time? You're a sadist? Said, your mind works. Well, yeah, I know it. It works real fast. It'll explore 10 jokes before you can finish your sentence. Do you try? No. Rose just rolls her eyes. But see, I've ruined everything. I have a good time anyway. I fall on the floor laughing from my own joke and they just stare at me. Life feels too good. Hallelujah. What are you afraid of? Nothing, obviously. This feels too good. Why should I waste my time worrying about something? Well, you're responsible. Oh, yeah, you worry or you're not.
Well, I'm worried that I'm not going to get it done in time. Then you'll probably, it'll come to pass.
Now, worry is the substance of the thing you were not hoping for. That's all the evidence you need of the thing you didn't want. By worry, kingdoms were lost and individuals were conquered and the masses were slaughtered. By worry, many attained to terrible testimonies. Wait a minute, have I got a bad word in them quotes? Oh, by faith. Sometimes an opposite look magnifies the good. Huh? And I smile. Whew. No calastif rabbi. For his delight is in truth, and his delight and that he's able to communicate with you, and his delight is your grounding and the foundation that you have in faith, so that he can take you further and further into the things of the Spirit. He's delighting in you. And the last part of that said, he has the utmost confidence that he can use you to get done what he needs done in this area come the time of revival. For you'll see, some of you that don't have confidence, that you'll build your confidence with your faith. For many that believe that they have faith, they don't have my faith. They have a faith that serves them, not mine. For many that come from nowhere and are built up in what I have to say, and life is totally yielded to me, is the kind of faith that I use in the situations I'm talking about. So be of good cheer. For those that seem to be used, you'll see a great movement begin, and many, many who were never known will come to the forefront and be used very powerfully. And you will know them by their gauge. And their gauge will be my love, saith the Lord. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, Kadasa. Nanasilo. Baduadi. 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 That's some language. Bad to Waddy. I messed it up. I'm sorry. I interfered. I'm sorry. I cut the interpretation off. I'm sorry. I don't know what it means either now. I've never done that before. Well, no use saying it over. It doesn't help. Come to Waddy. Let me wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm sure it was a good statement. I'm sure it was very encouraging. I'm sure of that. Oh, God, no. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Doesn't seem like waiting on him is doing any good. Caught on some new ground here. Started like, oh, it's that, and then it disappeared to nothing. Just like jumped off of a word. I'll ask him. You know, I mean, I'll ask him. I'm sure that it'll come. But I don't think it would be wise to wait here right now until this. I'm sure. I mean, he'll give us this before, when he's done with us. I think I might come teach me something not to, something to, you know, to stick with the facts. Yeah, Jordia. Hallelujah, Jesus. So this message, it can save you a lot of time. And the door's only 2 foot open wide. I'm back there. But it's soaked enough that it's answering questions I'd had most of my life, bringing me to places I've not been. And the miracles are increasing to the level that I just marvel at God. And I watched a baby. Its feet were backwards. That. And she's holding the baby like this. And I could see these feet turned around. So her husband cussed her out from the bedroom when she left and ordered her not to go. But she came anyway and brought the child. I stepped up and I looked at it and I prayed and I noticed some movement. It looked like a mole. You ever seen a mole traveling under the ground and it pushes the ground up just in front of him as he goes? Leaves it behind. It looked like two moles got in the legs. And the lump went down both legs and behind it, it left it correct. It entered crooked and come out straight. And it got down through the feet. And the feet turned all the way around, frontward. She went home that night. He screamed at her from the bedroom and cursed her. And she came in and held the baby up, and he got born again.
Oh, yeah.
That was a preacher's meeting. A bunch of preachers got filled with the Holy Spirit. One of them fell off of a two-story building. Broke himself up pretty bad. And he was like laying in an airport, and we come on TV. Called up, came to the meeting, and he's denominational, I call it. Don't speak with tongues. Groups that program it out. That's what he came from, and he's broke up. So I went up the aisle and I said, "That's a deaf ear here." It was him. Took him a long time to come from the chair to. Well, he had one totally deaf and 40% in the other. Plus, he was broke up. Two little steps and then a bay, and two little steps and a bay. That's how that elevated, like a theater kind of. Anyway, prayed for him, and he fell down, just straight down. His legs crumbled up under him, just went straight down. And then he's down there, and he looks up, and I see you hearing me. And he says, "I can hear you." I said, "Both of them. I can hear you." Then he jumped up, ran up the stairs. I want you to know, when we had the Holy Ghost line to be filled, he's the first one up there. For with edification, I can lift you up. I can work things in your life. I can go to that part of your future that you know very little of and work my plan in your life that you'll have the faith to go there. Oh, I like that. He rejoices over the day of fellowship when his love will increase in you, and so will the level of fellowship. He loves these kind of truths because they bring you into a fellowship with Him that He's desired from the garden on. That He loves you and He desires your fellowship with Him. Well, I could stay here all night and listen to me, but that's me. And I can say honestly from the bottom of my heart. Well, I can move it to the top if you want. It's been my absolute pleasure serving you today. I think I got as much out of it as you did.